Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity and privilege to study your word, to memorize your word, and they actually have a copy of the word of God in our homes and in our hands today. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would help us as we begin this study again, that you would help us to learn about Jesus. And Lord, Holy Spirit, it is one of your responsibilities to teach us about Christ. And Lord, I pray that you would take over this service now and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us about Jesus Christ and to teach us more about Him, more about our Savior, more about His lovely name, more about the titles that the Scriptures capture about Him. And help us, Lord, to go from here glorifying and praising God, for we have been in the house today hearing the Word of God taught and preached. And it's in His name we pray and ask this. Amen. You may be seated. As we continue the study, last week we didn't want to rush through the title Son of God that is quoted in the Scriptures about Jesus Christ. As we are looking this quarter about the titles of Christ given throughout the Scriptures and how they speak of His ministry and of His person, we want to really take our time here about Son of God. As I quoted to you last week, a quote by our president last Easter at a prayer breakfast where he said, Jesus is a Son of God. Jesus Christ is not a Son of God. He is the Son of God. He is the only Son of God. And as we talked about last week, He was not a byproduct of a physical relationship between God and Mary. It was a supernatural, miraculous birth by God through the Virgin Mary. She was a virgin. If your Bible says young maiden, you have the wrong Bible. It should say virgin. It was a miraculous birth. It was not a physical byproduct. Jesus Christ was not a man that lived a righteous life, gave his life for a cause, died for that cause, and subsequently, because he lived this righteous life, God deified him and made him a God. No, he was the Son of God. And as we looked at last week, we showed you proofs from the Scriptures that he preexisted, Jesus Christ preexisted before the world began. And then we showed you last week also proofs from the Scripture that he is part of the Trinity. We don't serve three gods, we serve one God and three persons of God, and how we showed you the description of the egg last week. This week we're going to continue that study of the Son of God and the proofs of the Scriptures that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And as we begin and close out last week, we were looking at the professions of eyewitnesses found in the Scriptures talking about Jesus is the Son of God. We looked at Satan himself, who knew that Jesus was the Son of God. We looked at the demons and the devils and the demonic spirits of the world. When Jesus would call them out or even get close to them, they knew who Jesus was. They called him Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And this week, let's try to finish this up. But again, we're not going to rush through it. We're going to look at the Scriptures and see these proofs that Jesus is the Son of God. So first now, let's go back to the gospel records in Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to look at the professions of the eyewitnesses of the apostles, those men that Christ called to himself and spent 3.5 years roughly with Christ on this earth in the ministry. They were eyewitnesses of Christ and his work and his ministry. In Matthew chapter 14, look with me in verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Now look at verse 33. Then they that were in the ship, who were in the ship, but the apostles, the disciples of Christ, then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. It doesn't say thou art a son of God. Thou art a righteous man. Thou art a good man. Thou art a good prophet. It says thou art the Son of God. And they worshipped him, and he accepted their worship. Times in the Bible when you see an angel come in the Old Testament, and they come and they give a message to the Old Testament saints, and they want to worship these angels. The angels won't receive their worship. They say, we're not worthy of the worship. But then when there's a pre-incarnate of Christ in the Old Testament, a theophany, and they see Christ, the angel of the Lord, and he accepts their worship. Here, Christ accepts these men's worship as the Son of God. So a profession here of the apostles, but let's look at some other examples of these apostles. In John chapter 1, we looked at thoroughly the first chapter, but we just took the first part of it. In John chapter 1, look with me, beginning in verse 43. This is the calling of some of the disciples. The record here in the gospel according to John, it says in verse 43, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and he said of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Now, how we could stop at these verses. Nathanael said unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Nathanael, one of the disciples that Christ called unto himself, says, You are the Son of God. In Matthew again, chapter 16, another apostle gives the declaration. Say, why are you going to all this scripture? Do you not think it's important to know in this world today that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that we have a proof text that shows us that? It is, believe me. People do not believe Jesus is God. In Matthew 16, look with me in verse 13. Peter's confession here. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, For whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter's confession that Jesus is the Son of God. And one last apostle here, well, there's many references we could look at. Let's look at John chapter 20. John chapter 20, and we can look at let's begin in verse 24. John 20 and verse 24. We have Thomas here. After Christ is resurrected, John 20 and verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he saith unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them, then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered, and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they, that's us, blessed are they that have not seen, yet have believed. Thou art my Lord and my God. What's a couple more, please? Bear with me. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, and look at verse 1. Mark is the author of the gospel record of the Gospel of Mark. Well, of course, we know the Holy Spirit is the author. But if you study about the Gospel of Mark, many people claim that Peter is really the one quoting to Mark what happened. Mark was a young lad when many of these, the ministry of Christ. And many say Peter was the one speaking to Mark and told him these things and these accounts, and then the Holy Spirit inspired the Scriptures and Mark penned it down. It says in Mark chapter 1 and verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, what is the next four words? The Son of God. We could say Mark said that. We could say Peter said that. We can say the Holy Spirit said that. Another eyewitness proof that Jesus is the Son of God. And one last one, we'll move on. John chapter 20. We've already looked at part of this. Let's finish it up. John chapter 20. We were looking at Thomas here. Let's look in verse 30. John 20, 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. Who is the author of the Gospel or record of John? John the Apostle, right? Well, the Holy Spirit, we know, inspired the Scriptures, and John the Apostle was the recorder of this, the penman of this. So we can say John says that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we can say the Holy Spirit says that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Proofs of the apostles that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Let's move on now to Matthew 27 and look at some other proofs of eyewitnesses from Christ's ministry. In Matthew chapter number 27, Matthew 27, look with me. And verse number 51. Matthew 27, 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain. Christ is on the cross. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were open. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now, when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly this was the Son of God. The Roman centurion and his band of men that were there to guard and to nail Christ to the cross, and Christ died on the cross for our sins, and the earth did quake, and the rocks did rend apart, and the veil in the Holy of Holies rent in twain from the top to the bottom. These men said, Jesus is the Son of God. Gentiles proclaiming Jesus as the Son of God. One more place here for these centurions. Look in Mark 15. Mark chapter 15 and verse number 39. We'll jump right in the middle of this. It's the same portion of Scripture we just read in Matthew. In Mark 15, 39, it says, And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. The centurion didn't thrust his spear in Christ's side and kill him. The centurion is saying he gave up the ghost, and truly, this was the Son of God. Another Gentile proclaiming that Jesus is the Son of God. Let's move on to Luke chapter 1 and look at the testimony and the profession of the angels. In Luke chapter 1, look with me in verse number 35. And the angel said and answered and said, he's talking to Mary here, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The angels were with Christ in heaven before he came to be a little baby in Bethlehem. The angels worship Christ in heaven. They know who Christ is. They know Jesus is the Son of God. And here, the angel Gabriel's come and he's proclaiming Christ's birth to Mary. And he says, he shall be called the Son of God. Let's look at John chapter 1 again. And look at John the Baptist's profession of who Jesus is. John 1. Let's pick it up in verse number 26, 27. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latch it I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same saith unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 34. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. John the Baptist here is proclaiming that Jesus was the Son of God. In John chapter 11, we have one of the servants that is recorded in the Word of God that loves to serve Christ. And it says in John chapter 11, we have the two sisters here, Mary and Martha. Jesus loved Bethany. He loved to go to Bethany. In John chapter 11, let's begin in verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary still sat in the house. Lazarus has died. They've called for Jesus. He waited a few days before he went. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whatsoever liveth and believeth, whosoever believeth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And verse 27, she saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Martha here is proclaiming that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Not a Son of God, the Son of God. Proof, eyewitnesses that were on this earth while Christ was on this earth, ministering to the lost and the lame and the sick and the needy, claiming that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We have their eyewitness accounts. And there's many more that we could look at. But let's go to the proclamations of Christ Himself. You will talk to someone about Jesus as the Christ or the Son of God, and they say, well, it never says that in the Bible. Well, we've already looked at many instances already. But then they'll say, well, God or Jesus never says that He's the Son of God. Let me show you some. Look with me in a very familiar portion of Scripture in John chapter 3. Jesus is discussing with Nicodemus here, a man of the Pharisees, a ruler of the Jews. And He's trying to convince Nicodemus of his need to be born again. We all know portions of John 3, but let's put it all in context here. Let's begin in verse 1 of chapter 3 of John. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto Him, Rabbi, we know that Thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that Thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto Him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Let's move down for sake of time to verse 15. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Amen. Jesus is telling Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Nicodemus is questioning how to be born again. And Jesus says, ye must believe on the Son. Now, is Jesus the greatest liar that ever lived, or is He telling the truth? He is the Son of God, and He is proclaiming here to Nicodemus, I am the Son of God. Ye must believe on Me, because I am from the Father. But let's move on and see some other instances. Look at John chapter 9. Jesus is healing the blind man here in John 9. Look with me in verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. There's been a miracle here. Jesus has healed the blind man. And Jesus moved on with His ministry, and the blind man is just rejoicing and praising God, and they bring him into the temple to question the blind man. It's like, what has happened to this man? And they've thrown him out of the temple, they've thrown him out, and Jesus hears about it. In verse 35, Jesus heard they had cast him out, and when He had found him, He saith unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? I love this. And he answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on Him? Remember that day you got saved? Remember that day when the preacher was preaching or somebody was witnessing to you and said, you must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You must believe in the Son of God. You must have your sins forgiven. Who should I ask to forgive me? Who? Tell me who. That's what the blind man here is saying. He said, Lord, verse 36, he said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on Him? Tell me who He is, that I might believe on Him. And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen Him, and it is He that talketh with thee. Well, that's pretty plain, isn't it? And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped Him. Jesus says, in so many words here, I am the Son of God. And the blind man saying, after he's been healed, he's saying, tell me who He is that I might believe on Him. And Jesus says, you have both seen Him, and it is He that talketh with thee. Jesus is proclaiming that He is the Son of God. Let's look at some other instances here. little bit of time left. Turn back with me for a moment to Exodus chapter 3. I want to share something with you that will bless your soul. Exodus chapter number 3. Moses has fled from Egypt. He's in the backside of the desert. He's tending the sheep of his father-in-law. And he's out one day looking for some pasture to feed his sheep with. And in chapter 3 he says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked and said, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. And Moses, and said, Moses, Moses, and he said, Here am I. Now God speaks to Moses through the burning bush. And he commissions Moses with a task. You're to go back into Egypt. You're to tell the people, my people, that you're going to lead them home. And Pharaoh is not going to let them go. You're going to have to speak to Pharaoh, and there's going to be problems, but you're going to lead my people home. You're the instrument that I'm calling. And Moses, again, starts making all kinds of excuses here why he is not the one, just like we are. When God calls us to do something, we make every kind of excuse that we can that God can't use us. Well, God knows us. He knows why he called us. And he called Moses here. And Moses makes every excuse, and he finally comes down and says, Who am I going to tell the children of Israel that sent me? Nobody's going to believe me that I've seen God, spoken to God out of a burning bush. Who am I going to say sent me? Look in verse number 13. Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. So God is telling Moses here, the name you shall give the children of Israel is I am. You agree with me that? Amen. Now let's go to the New Testament, to John chapter 8. Is Jesus Christ who he said he is? Is he the Son of God? I believe it. John chapter number 8. Look with me in verse 58. John 8, 58. Jesus said unto them, he's talking to the Jews here and the leaders of the Jews, and there's been a discussion here about Abraham. We don't have time to look at all of that right now. But Jesus says in verse 58, Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. The name of God. Now, of course, we know here by the context that he's saying, I existed before Abraham. But he's using this term, I am. And so that's a coincidence. Okay, look with me in Mark chapter 14. Hasten with me here so we can see these. Mark 14, verse 61. But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him and said unto him, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am, and ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. You say, well, he's just answering affirmative, I am. I am. Well, is there a coincidence there? Look at John chapter 6 and verse 35. And one of the titles of Christ we'll look later on in this study. In John 6, 35, Jesus is speaking, and he says, But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me and believe not. I'm sorry, verse 35, 6:35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. I am the bread of life. John 8, verse 12. I'm just going to hasten here. John 8, verse 12, Jesus says, Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light. I am the light of the world. And John 9 and verse 5, Jesus is speaking. He says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I am. Look with me in John chapter 10 and verse 7. John 10 and 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. John 10, 11. I am the good shepherd. The shepherd, good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. John 11, 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I am the resurrection and the life. John 14, 6. We all know by memory most likely. It says, Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am. John 15 and verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. I am. Before Abraham was, I am. You say those are coincidences. I don't think so. Jesus could have answered another way. He could have titled those titles a different way. He's using the name of God that God gave to Moses back in the desert to say, who shall I say sent me? I am. Jesus is using the same title. I am. I am the Son of God. A prince wanted to find a young maiden suitable to be his queen. One day, while running an errand to the local village for his father, he passed through a poor section of town. As he glanced out the windows of his carriage, his eyes fell upon a beautiful peasant woman. During the ensuing days, he often passed the young lady and soon fell in love. But he had a problem. How could he seek her hand? He could order her to marry him. But even a prince wants his bride to marry him freely and voluntarily and not through coercion. He could put on his most splendid uniform and drive up to her front door in a carriage drawn by 6 horses. But if he did this, he would never be certain that the maiden loved him or was simply overwhelmed by all the splendor. The prince came up with another solution. He would give up his kingly robe. He moved into the village, entering not with a crown, but in the garb of a peasant. He lived among the people, shared their interests and concerns, talked their language. In time, the maiden grew to love him. And because of who he was, and because he loved her first. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He left the portals of glory. He left his kingly robes and garments and crowns to live like a peasant because he loved us. He loved us first. And because of that love, we've learned to love him and believe that he is the Son of God. Lord, we love you today. We can't thank you enough for what you've done for us. The Scriptures teach us that Jesus is the Son of God. It's not man-made. It's not something that you have given to Jesus, his deity. He is God. He existed before the world began. He left everything he had for us because he loved us. And how do we reciprocate that love? Is it to be in one service a week? Is it to be fearful to knock on a door? Is it to not share the love of Christ that he has shown to us? How do we reciprocate the love of Christ in our lives? Lord, convict our hearts. Teach us, Holy Spirit, about Christ more and more. Help us to draw closer to You. Help us to love You more and more every day. As the name of Jesus leaves our lip, it's just the sweetest name ever. Help us to adore it. Help us to magnify it. Help us to honor and glorify it in all that we say and do, as our memory verse says, in word and deed, all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, help us to live the Christian life as we know we ought to live it. Convict our hearts where we fail You. Strengthen our hearts where we are serving You. And encourage us, dear Lord, to do more for You. And help us to tell others that You are the Son of God. We love You, Lord. We thank You so much for our salvation. Bless the service to come. Bless our pastor. Strengthen him. Give him what he needs. Allow the Holy Spirit to take over and speak to him and through him to us. We love You, Lord. Thank You for all that You do for us this day. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it.